Grace and peace are yours from the Father, through Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, in this worship series, we're asking God for open hearts and open minds to talk about our Christian service and our generosity to God. But to do that, we need to go to the one place that where God does that. He opens our hearts and minds. We go to His Word again today from Matthew chapter 25. It's the gospel we just heard about that parable or story Jesus told about the different talents given. And so we seek God's wisdom and Holy Spirit from those words again today. So Jesus gives us these stories, right? We love these stories. They're some of our favorite things in the Bible. Because God's able to take these incredible mysteries of heaven and turn them into real truths, real, personal, sometimes uncomfortable truths. You ever feel that way when you're reading one of these stories of Jesus that leaves you feeling a little bit uncomfortable? I know I do. Especially when Jesus tells a story where there's contrasting characters in the story. Like when Jesus tells a story of two men who go to the temple one day, and one of those men is a prideful, self-righteous Pharisee who thinks he's better than everyone else, and then the other person is a lying, cheating tax collector who's buckling under the weight of his own guilt. And Jesus tells a story about a father who has two sons. One of those sons is a brat who takes his father's money, and he goes and spends it in the worst possible way. And the other son is a brat who resents his father for forgiving his other brother so quickly. Sometimes when Jesus tells us these stories, we get a little uncomfortable. Because, yeah, Jesus, we understand what you're doing when you tell us these stories. You want us to consider which one of these contrasting characters is me. So Jesus tells a story. He tells a story about some servants. And two of those servants, they come to their master and they joyfully and they gratefully take the gift that the master gives them and they jump at the opportunity to put those gifts to work. Meanwhile, the other servant, he whines, he complains, and he makes excuses. And I read this account, or I hear Pastor read it, and I get a little uncomfortable because I'm thinking, okay, Jesus, which one of these servants am I supposed to be? It can be a hard thing to talk about Christian service. It can be a very difficult thing. Talk about Christian generosity, talking about how putting our responsibilities to work, to being faithful to the things that God has given us and put in front of us in our lives. It can be difficult. First of all, I think part of that difficulty is because we're children of grace, right? We know that God isn't coming to you and me today to talk about our responsibilities and saying, you do these things and you'll be right with me. No. We know that God has set us free and He's forgiven us. And he says, you don't do these things to earn salvation. I forgive you and I love you. You're my child. But it can also be hard to talk about Christian service and generosity because very, very quickly, even unknowingly, when we talk about these things, we can begin to get a wrong or a false view about Jesus and about Christian service. It can happen really quickly. It can happen even to believers like you and me. You think that could happen? Well, Jesus does because He tells the story that way. So listen again. As Jesus tells this story, at least listen to how He begins this story. He says, the kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. So Jesus is, of course, talking about Himself, right? He tells this story, and then he goes on a journey. He goes to Jerusalem not long after this story, and he gives his life to wash away the sins of the world. And then he rises up and he ascends to heaven, and he's no longer, his disciples can no longer see him. And so Jesus wants his disciples to know he's going to go away and they can't see him, and he wants them to know he's going to come back. And he wants his disciples to know that how important it is what they do with every single one of those days between this one and the day he comes back. And so Jesus says that the master in this story gives his servants some bags of gold. And maybe if you grew up reading this story, that sounds a little bit different. Maybe we're familiar with the old word. He gave them talents, right? The talents. This is not a translation issue here. It's just a recognizing that that old word talent was not talking about a skill or ability. The word was actually a weight or a measurement, a unit of weighing money. That's what the talent was. And so if you calculate today's currency, what they had back then with those talents or bags of gold, I think some conservative estimates say each one of those bags of gold was around $1 million. But that's not really the point, right? The point of Jesus' story isn't that he gave one person $1 million, gave another person $2 million, another person $5 million. Pastor said it well. The point is, everyone got something. But that's not even the point, right? The point is what they did with it. What did they do with what they were given? And that's still the point, brothers and sisters. That's still the point Jesus is making today. That's the most important point that he would have you think about this morning. As he's the one who gives us all of our different responsibilities in life, our different abilities in proportion to who we are and what we have. But it doesn't really matter if you serve God as a pastor or a park ranger, or if you count people's money or cut people's hair. It doesn't really matter if you take care of your children in your home or you take care of your parents in their home. That's not the point. The point is what you do with it. The point is, how faithfully are you carrying out the responsibilities God has placed in your life, those resources, because those are yours. Those are the ones that Jesus gave to you. And we know that. We know that God gave us our resources and our responsibilities in order to give him glory. But did you ever think about and take time to consider just how serious Jesus is about that? After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought another 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Is this really going to happen? Is Jesus really going to say that? One day, are you going to stand before God and have to give an accounting as his servant of how you handled the resources and the responsibilities that God placed in your life? What would he say? If you were a student, would he ask you if you did your work faithfully? Always. Did you respect your teachers? Did you look out for and stand up for those who were in need around you? Would he ask people who are single, what did you do with some of that time that I gave you that not everyone else has? And what about those relationships? Would he ask what we did with those relationships with our boyfriend or our girlfriend? Did we use those relationships as an opportunity to strengthen the faith of that person in our life, or to put temptation in front of them? If you're married, if you're a parent or a grandparent, would he ask you, as you're giving an accounting to God, what did you do with those relationships? How did you view them? Did you see them as opportunities for you to get happiness and find fulfillment? Or did you see those relationships as opportunities to serve those precious, precious souls that I put on the path of your life? And when God gives you money, would he ask, how did you use that? Did you use that faithfully in accordance with my plan for your life, providing for your family and showing your thanks back to me and serving those who have needs in your life? Or did you just see it as your money? That's mine. I use it for my purposes. And now comes the part of the story Jesus tells that we might even be inclined to think that he kind of messes it up a little bit if Jesus could do such a thing. Or at least he doesn't take the opportunity to tell a really, really good story, right? Because if I was writing this story, here's the part where I'd put the twist in. As the people are coming, the servants are coming to settle their accounts with the master, wouldn't we all want to see, wouldn't this make a good movie if the guy with the 5 bags of gold comes to the master and he's the one that really messes it all up, right? He's the one that really squanders and wastes this really big gift. And then the underdog comes in, the guy with the 1 bag of gold, and he's the hero of the story, and he takes this really small gift, he does something really big with it, and Jesus couldn't be happier with the guy who did something so big with something so little. And that's the way I would have told it, but Jesus doesn't. And I think that's because Jesus knows that if you're anything like me, it's way easier to look at someone else's gifts in your life, right? It's way easier to look at other people's resources and their responsibilities, to look at how smart they are, and the families or the money or the job or whatever it may be, and to look at what they have and then take a look at your own and take inventory and stock of that and maybe even be tempted to think it's not very much, maybe not worth anything at all. Sometimes we're tempted to think that the big fail is the worst fail. But in reality, what is Jesus telling you and me in this story? It's those little things, right? It's those little moments every day in our life that come and go so quickly, maybe even invisible to other people in your life, but not to Jesus and not to you. How often don't we let those little moments just come and go when we could have served? And Jesus is telling us today that that doesn't just show your attitude towards your gifts, that shows your attitude towards him. Then the man who had received the 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you're a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here, it's what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. What made that servant so wicked? It wasn't that he hid gold in the ground. It was why he hid that gold in the ground. It's because he saw his master as nothing more than just a tyrant. Just someone who was only looking out for himself. He said, Master, I know who you are. I know you're a hard man. I never wanted your bag of gold in the first place, and I certainly don't want you as a master over my life. He looked at his little responsibility that he'd been given, and he saw it nothing more than a cruel and a mean trick given from a cruel and a loveless overlord. He looked at the responsibilities and the resources in his life, and he saw no reason to give thanks, no reason to rejoice, just whining and complaining and making excuses. And it's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy to do that. Lord, if you just give me a job where I could use my gifts, I would serve you so joyfully, so faithfully. And Lord, don't you know that I want to be generous and I want to be able to help other people in my life and those around me who have needs, but You got to give me more money and more time and more resources to do that. And I would be a faithful husband and a father if you gave me children that listened to me and a spouse that loved me or supported me. But what do you expect? Look what you've given me. Lord, it's your fault. That's the heart of the lazy, wicked servant. And that's my heart. It is. On those days when I talk about Jesus being my Savior, but live like he's just out there to get something from me, that's the kind of heart that fills God's heart with anger. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's just Jesus saying, throw that person into hell. That's hard to hear, isn't it? Do you ever worry that something Jesus would say to you? Jesus, he wants us to pray for opportunities to serve him. And he wants us to pray for the strength to do it. And he wants us to look for those opportunities when they arrive in our life and to jump in full throttle and to seize the resources and opportunities to serve him. He wants us to do that, but he doesn't want us to be afraid to do it or to live in fear while we're doing it. Do you know what the heart of the story is? I'll give you a hint. It's not the way in which those servants use their master's gifts. It's the way in which those servants saw their master's heart. And praise God, brothers and sisters, that you already know that heart. You know Jesus' heart. Can you see that heart coming through in the story here? It happens when those servants come to give their accounting to their master, and the two servants come and they're joyful and excited, and they rejoice in being able to take that gift and make gains with it and joyfully give it back to the master. But did you catch what the master's response to that was? He doesn't go to those servants and say, "Wonderful, more money for me in my vault." No, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in my happiness with me." That was his goal all along. He didn't want to fill up his vaults with gold. He simply wanted to fill up his servants with happiness. And that's still God's goal today, as he calls you and me to serve and to give. He's not doing it to get something from you. He doesn't even need you and me to do it. His goal is to simply fill you with happiness. You understand that? Fill you with the same happiness that God himself has. And what is it that makes God happy, by the way? Caring for you. That makes God happy. It fills his heart with joy. Telling you that your sins are forgiven, as you heard again this morning. And not as some begrudging father who says, "Well, fine, I'll let them off the hook again. I'll look the other way one more time." No, no. God rejoices to call you again today what you are. My beloved and forgiven children. It fills his heart with joy to say that. And to come to you when your heart is weak and worried and anxious and guilty, and to set that heart at ease and peace, that's God's favorite thing. And to be your Father in heaven who provides your daily bread and to care for you and your family, that's the thing that gives God the most joy in the world. Even when you and your family are suffering and hurting, nothing gives God greater joy than to care for you. That's God's heart. That's the heart of Jesus right there. And it's not always easy to see that, is it? Especially when you're going through something hard. Especially when you're asked to do something hard and serve something hard. Like when God asks you to forgive people who really hurt you. or when God has you take a look at your family, your spouse, your children, your job, your money, your community, and he says, serve, 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 serve. When he asks you to be generous to the point of hurting, when he asks you to be loving and caring almost beyond what you're able to do, it can be hard to see the heart of Jesus in those moments. It can be hard to see. But Jesus isn't trying to take something from you. He's trying to give something to you. Even as he's asking you to do those things and to serve those people and to use those resources, he genuinely, from his heart, just wants to give you the same happiness that he has as he does those things for you every day and cares and loves and provides for you. That genuinely fills God's heart with happiness, and he wants you to have a part of that. But when that's hard to see, and sometimes it is, it's time for us to take a good and a long look back at the heart of Jesus. Because right after Jesus was done telling this story, what did he go do? Right after that, he went to Jerusalem to show you his heart through and through. Because when it came to the matter of settling your account with God, there's only one of two options on the table. Either you would go to the place of weeping and gnashing teeth to pay for it yourself, or a perfect substitute would go to the place of weeping and gnashing teeth to pay that for you. And before you were even born, God made that decision for you. In fact, the Bible says before the creation of the world, God promised his inheritance to you. And on Good Friday, Jesus went there and kept that promise. He dropped himself down into the darkest, most torturous forsakenness of hell, so that all of the debt, all of the guilt of your sins and the whole world would be counted against him, so that instead of the curse of hell, you would enjoy the promise of heaven. And instead of having to pay for your sins, you would get to enjoy your Savior's love. There's God's heart on full display. And that very same heart is with you every single day of your life. He's there with you when you remember your baptism. He's right there to take that very word of forgiveness and wrap it around you and say, I clothed you in my robes of righteousness, so that when Jesus comes and says, well, he doesn't say, go be my faithful servants. Jesus comes to you and says, you are already my faithful servants. Well done. I look at you and I don't see a single sin. Every single one of them is washed away. But he doesn't just forgive your sins. He comes to you every single day to tell you that and remind you of that. He comes to you and says, I'm there with you. I'm there with you always to lift you up and to strengthen you and strengthen you and strengthen you some more so that you can just be the child of God that I died to make you. And you can just enjoy the opportunities to serve until the day when you meet me face to face. And whether that comes today or 20 years from now or 2,000 years from now, it doesn't really matter, because today and every single day until that day, God's love will not let you down. It'll never fail you. Jesus will be there for you every day with his forgiving heart and those promises to remind you and to equip you to be the child of God that you already are. And allow you and me to enjoy the opportunities of service that bring happiness to the very heart of God himself. He says, I want you to enjoy that happiness too. And along that path home, he's going to tell us some stories like this. And sometimes the stories will make us feel a little bit uncomfortable, but that's okay, because it's only for a while. Because one day that discomfort, along with every single discomfort in your life, is going to go away. It's going to all fade away. Along with even all the opportunities to serve people in their needs, it's all going to fade away, because their needs are all going to fade away. And the only thing left on that day will just be you staring back at the beaming face of your Father in heaven as he looks on you and smiles. And his Son is there right next to you, sharing his promises with you, just saying, come, come one more time now and share in my happiness forever. God grant that for us all. Amen.